May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
In our first reading this morning, God sends the prophet Ezekiel to the people of Israel to speak to them on behalf of the Lord. You may have had a similar kind of conversation with a friend or a family member or a colleague at some point. I need you to go and visit Cousin Benny. And, well, I know that he's stubborn and rude, and I know that usually he ignores all of the advice that he asks for, and he has a tendency to cry and point fingers at others, but I still need you to go talk to him. If you haven't had that particular kind of conversation, here's a biblical template. Maybe you can use it. Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. After describing God's own people in this not so flattering and not so encouraging way to a brand new prophet, God's very next line is, I am sending you to them. And perhaps that is why God ends this missive with the next verse. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. One might imagine, I might imagine, that the goal is for the people of Israel to change their ways, to listen to God via God's prophet. After all, isn't that what success looks like? Aren't those the desired results? What's the point of going if the people simply refuse to hear? Maybe Ezekiel wondered that too. Jonah certainly did, another prophet, which is part of the reason he wound up inside a whale. It is a kind of human wondering, born today, in my life at least, in a society that expects and sometimes demands a certain kind of result or a certain kind of action, and assumes failure and punishment when not met. But, thank goodness, God's ways are not our ways. Later on in today's lectionary, in our gospel reading from Mark, we hear the story of Jesus returning to his hometown. The Sabbath finds him in the synagogue teaching. But instead of moving a new group of followers, compelling them by his words and presence, Jesus is rebuffed. Where did this man get all of this? They ask. What wisdom has been given to him? We know this guy. He's our local carpenter, Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. Aren't those his sisters over there? Can you believe all the hooey he's spouting? Whenever I read this passage, I can see the looks on people's faces. Eyebrows raised, shooting looks back and forth, mouths slightly open, maybe nudging each other. They take offense, upset at what they behold, and Jesus can tell. Prophets are not without honor, he says, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. Mark writes that Jesus too is amazed, but amazed at the people's unbelief. And perhaps you can picture his face too. Maybe a little hurt, tired from all the traveling. He could do no deeds of power there, Mark writes, except laying his hands on a few sick people and curing them. But no matter. After concluding that pericope, that piece of the gospel story, Mark immediately goes on to describe how Jesus went out to continue his work among the villages. And he doesn't stop there. Jesus, who has been rejected on his home turf by his own people, goes back out and starts sending out the disciples in their work too. Jesus gives them authority over unclean spirits. He shares his power, and he sends them out two by two, preparing them to encounter people unwilling to hear them. Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. In the construction of Mark's text, the very next verse reads, "So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent." "This will be hard," Jesus says. And the disciples go. "People may refuse to hear you, your own families, but keep going. Keep offering your testimony, your belief, your authority, yourselves, each one a gift from God." And never does Jesus say that they can't circle back again. In Ezekiel and in Mark, we are offered stories of perseverance in the face of rejection, and of God's mercy, fidelity, and love. Ezekiel experiences God's mercy and faithfulness to God's people, Israel. God sends him to speak to Israel, even as God tells Ezekiel about the people's very human failings. It doesn't matter that they will not hear the prophet. They will know that there has been a prophet among them. They will know that God is sending God's word to them still, carried in its own flawed human vessel, a testament that God is with them always. This was especially important when Ezekiel was active as a prophet, because it was during Israel's time of exile in Babylon. The people had been taken away from their home, the place where they believed God to live. So even as he exhorted them for their failure to follow and be faithful to God, Ezekiel brought hope of restoration and return. He was there, after all. And even if they didn't like what he had to say, they had not been forgotten. So while I might think in terms of a desired result, or a goal, or a grade, it is comforting to be reminded that there is no requirement for receiving God's mercy. God's love and mercy is the same way that God is. And that is good news indeed. That same good news appears in Mark. The disciples witness Jesus modeling God's abiding love and inviting them into it as well, regardless of the reception that it brings them. They are invited to do what Jesus does, as he is not received in his own town and goes out again. They have a template. And it doesn't mean that they are to stay where they are unwelcome. Shake off the dust that is on your feet if they refuse to hear you. Continue on your way. You have been. You have offered. By God's grace, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we devote ourselves to God with our whole heart, following God's commandments in the world, but we do not dictate the actions of those around us. There are times when we need to shake off the dust from our feet and continue on in our journey, and so we trust that God remains. And with God, when it is time, we have the opportunity to return. For this, in particular, I give thanks today. More often than not, I find myself as one of those hometown doubters, unable to see Jesus even when he is right in front of me, as I stubbornly refuse to hear God's word. I am grateful for the opportunity to listen again and the grace to be received. For all that I try to love God and my neighbor, to follow the commandments that we have all been given, often I miss the mark. So I am grateful to miss alongside others in the context of a community, others who can remind me that God is always ready to teach again, to teach all of us again. May we look to one another, to the stories of our scripture, and listen hard to the prophets, crying out for our attention, challenging us as they remind us that God has not given up on us. May we recognize Jesus, even when he comes in an unexpected form, teaching by word and example. May we welcome those disciples who seek to cure what ails us and liberate us from our demons. And may we join them